This morning at 6:30, my chicken woke me up. They wanted out. So I had to get up and get dressed and go outside. And as I was letting them out and getting their food and pen ready, I realized that I was outside while the sun was rising. And for that moment, I was thankful that the chickens got me up to witness something that's so spectacular that happens every single day, yet I rarely notice it. The sun rising reminds me that every day is a new day. And even on those mornings when it's foggy or rainy or cloudy and I don't see the sun is still there. The beauty of a sunrise still exists even though I don't see it. And I'm thankful for that reminder because it reminds me that that's the way God's love is. And I love that. God's love is in my life, His grace, His faithfulness, even when I don't see it. And it takes chickens to remind me of that. So, this morning I was thankful, and I even got two eggs.
Thanksgiving Sunday, a chance to be together, to reflect on what it means to be thankful. This morning I'm really just going to offer some reflection on three verses that are probably fairly well known. Many of you probably know them. Three verses are on the next slide here. First one from 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Then Ephesians 5:19-20. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This has been a really hard week for me to be thinking about Thanksgiving. And it's been really, really hard for me to live out these verses this week. Because, to be honest, this week in a lot of ways has been kind of rotten. We live in the shadow of global turmoil. You know, we're watching the news and like every day it's what's going to happen with the U.S. and North Korea. We see a video of millions of people still fighting for survival after hurricanes have hit the Caribbean and the southern United States. We almost get so bombarded with other stuff that we forget that there's still war ravaging millions of people in Syria and Iraq and just millions of people having no safe homelands to go to. And then we struggle to make sense of the attack in Las Vegas. Significant part of the, and I don't know about you, but for me, I it just gets me more confused when something like that, the first response by at least a percentage of the American population is, this was a tragedy, But how can we protect our rights to carry the kinds of weapons that allow this kind of thing to happen? And it's hard to be thankful in that. And then in our own country, we continue to hear more of the story of what led a man to take innocent lives in Edmonton. That's the global big picture, but this week there's also been three funerals that I've been keenly aware of. One of a 37-year-old friend who died after a long battle with cancer, leaving behind a husband and two kids, one of whom has severe special needs. One of a woman in her 60s who died suddenly, leaving a loved one of ours, a sister, full of grief. And then one of a beautiful woman in her 90s who lived a wonderfully godly life and who is looking forward to moving into the life after death and joining some family members who had gone before her. Add into the mix of that several of the loved ones in our own church community struggling with a wide range of physical, mental, and emotional issues. And I'm working on preparing a sermon for Thanksgiving, and I'm sitting in the Aurelia Hospital with Penny and Mac, as Mac is increasingly struggling, and Penny is just tired because every ounce of daylight is spent sitting in a hospital room trying to care for her husband. And Marie, I'm glad your voice is getting better, but you're spending your days at home with your husband who's fighting. It just, like you said, like, why can't it just happen faster? These baby steps to recover from a stroke. And then Bill and June finally able to get to a specialist. And you're telling people that what's going on? June's been struggling for a long time. And they finally got to see the specialist on Tuesday, and it looks like June has ALS. And trying to figure out, okay, how do we walk this road? Then I come back and sit in my office with these verses, and I fight it, trying to be thankful in the midst of the mess. So we're going to dive into these verses just a little bit. Give you some of my reflections from that I've been working through this week. And at the end, we're going to move into a time where hopefully we will be ready to say, okay, in the midst of the mess, we are going to be thankful today. And give us a chance to share some of the things that we are thankful for, even in the midst of the chaos and struggles. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I put I statements here because this is really just my attempt to make sense of this for my life, and hopefully it can encourage you. How do I respond to this? Well, the simple thing that I can do is I can just try and practice these things. Rejoicing, prayer, thanksgiving. Work them into my regular habits. Don't wait for the feeling of joy to rejoice. Don't wait till I feel like praying to pray. Don't wait till I feel thankful to take time and intentionally say, okay, what do I have to be thankful for? These three things, one of the things about this verse that I find cool is rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. It's the rejoicing, the prayer, and thanksgiving. These are the things that are God's will for us in Christ Jesus. This verse isn't saying that all the circumstances we face are what God wants for us. He's saying, in all the things that you're going through, try and practice these realities, rejoicing, praying, and giving thanks. And so I can work to try and practice these things. I can sit down with a journal and try and write these things daily. I can set alarms on my phone to pause in the middle of a chaotic day, where I can spend time with Jesus even for a brief moment and reflect and say, okay, things are a mess right now, but let's put it all into context. And what do I have that I can be thankful for, that I can rejoice for, or pray for in this moment? The other thing that helps me with this is just remembering that not all circumstances are God's will or His desire for us. Not everything I'll go back to Genesis 1 and 2. In the very, very beginning, God designed things to be working with us in the world. We are actually given rule over His creation in a very real way. And so sometimes when bad things happen, we say, why would God do this to me? And we forget that God in His Word says, I haven't done everything. I've given humanity responsibility here too. So I find it helpful to remember that I can't blame God for the mess that we've made ourselves. Except my role, our collective role in the all circumstances piece and work to look and see God within it. That brings us to the next verse, Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. This idea of giving thanks to God the Father is prefaced by, okay, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So how can I get to that point of being thankful? Well, the first step is I need to be engaging in His work in whatever I do. I've got this responsibility to rule, to partner with Him, so how can I try and live that out in whatever I'm doing? We're all in different places and different contexts throughout the week, but if we entered into each of those contexts saying, okay, how can I live out the reign of Jesus well in this place, in how I deal with the people I'm dealing with, and how I approach the situations that I'm approaching. How can I do this in a way that looks like Jesus in the world? That then sets me up to go to the next point and look for and acknowledge God's presence in everything. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, because God is present. I love the words of the old hymn, everywhere that man can be, thou God are present there. Just often we struggle to see Him, or we aren't even looking. And so I need to work to acknowledge God's presence in everything, even if it's not immediately visible. The psalmist was aware of this in Psalm 139, when he wrote, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, and if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God is in everything. And so one of the things that I work to try and do is, and I don't do this perfectly by any stretch. Maybe it's better to say I want to work to try and do. Is to actually pause and try and live God's way in the world in whatever context I'm in, and try and watch for God at work in ways that are beyond me, in whatever situation I find myself. And then Ephesians 5:19-20. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow, this verse challenges us to give thanks for everything. And honestly, this is where I've been stuck this week. How do I give thanks to God for everything? And in my reading this week, I've been working through Psalm 119 section by section for a while. I got to a section that was really, really helpful for me, and so I'm just going to share some of the reflections from that. But how do we give thanks to God for everything? Psalm 119, I'm just going to read it. This is verses 161 to 168, a section. It says, rulers persecute me without cause, but my heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you for your righteous laws. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. I wait for your salvation, Lord, and I follow your commands. I obey your statutes, for I love them greatly. I obey your precepts and your statutes, for all my ways are known to you. The Psalms are just wonderful expressions, because they aren't written primarily to teach theology. They aren't written primarily to give instruction. They are written to help us learn the language of how to express our hearts to God. And sometimes the expression of our hearts is actually really bad theology. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's okay to say that, even though it's not sort of this bigger truth, because that is what is felt. And so, as I've been wrestling with this week, this psalm has been really helpful because it helps to process what we feel. The tension of the world is falling apart around us. How do I give thanks in the midst of that? And here's some things that I found helpful as I process stuff with the help of this psalm. The first is that in this psalm, I learned that, going back to the first thing I mentioned, it's good to recognize humanity's cooperation in the world and the mess we're in. We're honest about the mess of it. We're honest that people are involved in this, and it's messy because, well, we made it a mess. We don't hide the fact that it's a mess. This psalm starts with, "Rulers persecute me without cause." It starts with just simply stating, this is the mess that I am in. There is real problems here. Sometimes we want to skip to the end where we're thankful, and we aren't honest about the fact that sometimes things really suck. It's not supposed to be this way. And it's okay to say, it's a mess. I don't like this. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Second thing that we see the psalmist do in this psalm is that he acknowledges, this is the second thing I just talked about, he acknowledges God's presence in everything and God's work in everything and looks for where God is revealing himself. It finishes with, "All my ways are known to you." God is there. He's active. He's doing something, even in the midst of this persecution. It starts there. It finishes with, okay, but God, you're here. You're doing something here. The third thing is I try to recognize that God is doing something more in me than just keeping me safe and comfortable. In the midst of the mess, in the midst of the persecution that this section starts with, right in the middle we read, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." God is doing something in our lives that's bigger than just keeping us safe, protecting us from messiness. He has a way of taking this stuff and using it to shape us and form us and help us to become something more than just safe people. Helping us to become people who have a peace in the midst of the struggle. Helping us to be people who are able to stand even in the midst of a messy, difficult storm. And even if standing doesn't look like this, even if standing looks like holding on for dear life on our knees, because that's all we can do. But the last thing, and this has been the thing that has been really helpful, and you know, I love Dave, I love Velda's funeral, because that's what this was for her. As we keep our eyes on the future hope, and again, in the middle of this, we get to, "I wait for your salvation, Lord." We recognize that this isn't how it's supposed to be, and we're looking ahead to something more than this, more than the struggles we have right now. And I think that salvation, it can be seen in the near future, that God isn't going to waste what I'm going through, that God is going to take what I'm going through and use it to help me become more like Him, and to use it to help me represent Him better to others who need my help, who need someone to walk alongside them on the journey. In the short term, God isn't going to waste it. We may not see how He's using it, but He uses it. But ultimately, there's this future hope that God is going to take the mess and He is going to redeem this broken world. He is going to put it back together again. That is the hope of the Christian story. When we get to the end of Revelation, how it's going to play out, well, there's lots of debate about that. But what we agree on is that God is going to make things right again. He's going to take the mess and redeem it and restore it. And the hope that we have is not just that we will be able to escape the mess, but that God is going to enter into it. The hope in Jesus was wrapped up in the fact that there was resurrection. Not that there was no death, but that there was resurrection. That the mess is going to get defeated and it's going to be restored and put back together in a way that is more beautiful than we can currently imagine, because we've never seen it before. We've only seen the mess. But we lean into this distant future that God is going to save things and rescue all things. Again, I can't help but think about the celebration of life for Velda, because that was like, she wrote her story. For those who weren't there, she wrote her story and just talked about, you know, the life that she lived and how God worked through it. That's the near hope, and how God redeemed so many things. But then how she was just looking ahead to, but I've got this on the other side. And she was so ready to go because she was leaning into that future hope. And it allowed her to go through the last 6 months of struggle with a heart that was lamenting the current pain, but thankful because of what she was looking forward to. We're going to take some time this morning just to open the floor. We're not going to pass a mic around or anything. Just give you a chance to stand where you are and just say something you're thankful for. It might be in the midst of some pain, and if you want to share context, you're welcome to do that. But you don't have to. You're not sure at all. We can sit here for the next 15 minutes in quiet. I'm okay with that too. But I just invite you to stand and just share something that you're thankful for. But before we do that, I'm going to pray, because that's been one of the biggest things that's helped me this week, is realizing that I can't fix all the mess. And we need God to do things that only God can do for us to be able to get through it. Let's pray together. God, I'm thankful that we're able to be here and in this together. God, you, more than any of us, are aware of the mess in this world. God, I thank you that you chose, rather than running from it or just blowing it up, you chose to enter into it in Jesus. And you took on that mess so that we could have the assurance that you are active, that you are working, and that there is resurrection hope that we can lean into. God, I want to pray especially for those who are grieving the loss of a loved one today. I want to pray for those who are battling physical illness and the physical illness of those that they love. And I pray especially for Valmore as he's struggling, for Mac in the hospital, and for June. God, I pray that you would just give them comfort knowing that you are not absent from these situations. God, that you would help them to lean into you with every cry of anguish and pain that they have, knowing that you listen. That you would give them a sense of hope for the future. God, we need you to do things in these situations and in this world that only you can do to make it right, to make it whole. Help us to do what we can as we work in partnership with you, but to recognize our limitations, to be able to open-handedly at the end of the day go to sleep, leaving it with you to keep doing your work. God, with that place of recognizing who you are and that you are going to work something through all of this, and you are making it back, you are going to make it whole again, despite what we may see. God, help us to be able to live with hearts full of gratitude, keeping an eye out for where we get glimmers of what you're doing, and we can point to that and rejoice in it and celebrate it. God, now for the next while, as we just open the floor and give us an opportunity to just stand in the midst of the mess and say, but here's where I see God at work, and I'm so thankful. God, may you be pleased, and may we be encouraged through this time we have to share now. In Jesus' name, amen. I know, let's pray. God, thank you for creating us as people with all kinds of feelings. We are complex. God, thank you that you meet us in whatever we are facing and feeling. As Glenn just said, you know, in the midst of the struggle, help us at the same time to grieve and to see those places where glimpses of you are there. God, I pray that this time we've had to express our hearts to each other is just the starting place. As we go from here, as many of us have times with family, may it continue. And not necessarily in a scripted way, but just that it would overflow from us, that we would be honest about where we are, that you would help us to process that, that you would, again, meet us in that, and that as you do, we would find ways to both be and express our gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen.